5. And we serve a risen Savior. We're here today to remember and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. Everything, all of the rippling out of this moment 2,000 years ago, everything that is important comes back to the resurrection of Jesus. Right now, all over this planet, there are people celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus can't be contained. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference in the world. It's the very center part of what we're about. The historical evidence is amazing that shares with us the truth that Jesus is alive. A living, resurrected Jesus. And he comes to us today. He comes to you right there. Whether you're in your living room or in your den, whether you're in your kitchen, no matter where you are, the resurrected Jesus comes to you today. He is living. He is a living Savior. He is our living Lord. He's alive. All of the disciples, all of the apostles, all of the early church went all over the Western world proclaiming the truth of the resurrected Jesus. They were willing to lay down their life for the resurrected Jesus because they believed in that message. And though we might be sequestered and quarantined because of the COVID-19 crisis, the whole issue of quarantine and sequestering cannot hinder the resurrected Jesus. And so I'm excited. I want to share with you three things today from three different passages of Scripture about what the resurrection means to me. Why my life personally is founded on this truth. And it's the truth that Christians, millions of Christians today, believe in. The first thing is that the foundation, the very foundation of the Christian life is faith in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Without it, it's nothing. Christianity is empty, but because of the cross and the resurrection, we have everything. About 20 years after the resurrection event took place, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he writes to them in the 15th chapter. And he starts this in this way. Now, I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach to you. When you received, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And so Paul realized that the church at Corinth, that as he is summing up this message, this letter to them, he's saying, this is the message, this truth, the crucifixion and the resurrection. You have chosen to make a stand with this. And today, even though we can't be together personally, we are making a stand on the resurrection. We are putting our lives on it. It's what we preach. It's what we teach. It's what we believe. And that we do not believe in vain. He goes on and says, for I passed on to you as most important. Do you hear that passage? As most important. This is what is most important. That I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, then all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, He also appeared to me. What an incredible testimony about those who have experienced and saw firsthand, physically, the resurrected Jesus. This became a creedal statement, a statement of confession, perhaps weeks after Jesus was resurrected. That over 500 people in that 40-day period before He ascended to heaven saw Him. And that as Paul writes the church at Corinth, he says they have, or many of them are still alive to be able to refute what he is writing. But they are there to confirm the resurrection. He says that Cephas, which is another name for Peter, saw the resurrected Jesus. The 12, the 11 minus Judas with the addition of Matthias, the 12 saw the resurrected Jesus. All of these people were witnesses that gave testimony that Jesus is alive. And then I think one of the most interesting people that he mentions is that he mentions Jesus' brother James. that even James saw him alive. If you remember from the scriptures, James and his family didn't even believe that Jesus was God the Son. In Mark 3:31, they went over to try to bring Jesus home because they thought he had lost his mind. Later on, we see in Acts 3 that Peter and John are mentioned as the leaders. In Acts 4:13 and 8:14, we see that Peter and John are the leaders. And all of a sudden, in chapter 12, we see that James, the brother of Jesus, has become a leader in the church at Jerusalem. When Paul comes back to be able to affirm his mission, the first person that he sees that told him about the resurrection is James, as well as Peter. So something happened dramatically to James's life. He went from doubt and unbelief to belief and became a leader in the early church. What made that? What drove that decision? Because he saw his brother, the resurrected Jesus. Paul even says, this is what I have lived about. This is what I'm about. This is what I've experienced, that he saw Jesus on the Damascus Road, that he experienced Jesus through his 3 years in Arabia, studying, praying, being set aside. All of these individuals' lives were radically changed by the power of the resurrection, by seeing the resurrected Jesus, and now they have passed this truth on to us. And so this is the truth that we recognize today, that we celebrate today, that Jesus died for our sins, just like the prophets prophesied. He was buried and raised again on the third day. The foundations of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that he is a living Savior, that it is the life-changing reality that our sins are forgiven on the cross, but we have life. Life abundant and life eternal because of the promise of the resurrection. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are putting our faith and trust in the power of the resurrection to raise us up to experience the fullness of life that resurrection power has. Right now, some of you are at home and you are quarantined. You can't come out. You are huddled in your homes only to go to the grocery store or some other place of significance. In John 20, we realize that Mary and Peter and John have seen the empty tomb. Mary goes and gets Peter and John. They see that the tomb is empty. They leave, and then Mary stays, she tarries, and then she turns around and sees the resurrected Jesus. And then it tells us in verse 19 that even though we are locked in homes and houses, we can experience a fresh new life from the resurrected Jesus, that just like on that first day, that first resurrection Sunday, when it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." What an amazing experience, these disciples. They are huddled behind closed doors. They are locked. They are fearful. They are doubting. They are afraid. They know that Jesus has been crucified. In fact, they've heard this from Peter and John, that the tomb is empty. They've heard the testimony that from Mary Magdalene, that Jesus spoke to her, that he was resurrected just as he had promised. But they had not seen Jesus, and it was all so confusing to them. And locked and huddled in their rooms, Jesus appears. And locked and huddled in your homes, quarantined because of COVID-19, Jesus comes into your life, comes into your home today to bring hope and peace and love and mercy and forgiveness. The last thing the disciples heard, according to John's gospel, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he uses this term, it's a banking term, tetelestai. It is finished. The debt has been paid. Those were the last words they heard Jesus speak when he was alive before the crucifixion was finalized and Jesus died. And the next words they hear Jesus say, is peace be to you. Have peace. Because Jesus died on the cross, because He paid our debt, we have peace with God. We have peace with ourselves. We have peace with each other. We have peace. That instead of being tormented over the circumstances that we experience in life, instead of living a life of fear, we have peace. And through locked doors, physical barriers, Jesus comes in. And I don't know about your life, but right now you may be so worried. There may be so many physical barriers between you and the outside world. And Jesus says, shalom, peace. Then He showed them the scars. He showed them how He had been injured on the cross. He showed them that the cross was real and that He had died. And then His presence revealed to them on that first resurrection Sunday, He was alive. And He wishes them peace again. And then He breathes on them and says, I'm sending you. You know, some scholars think that this is John's version of Pentecost. I don't think so. I think he's breathing life into them so that they are prepared and ready for Pentecost. And right now, Jesus wants to breathe something fresh and new in your life. He wants to breathe hope into your life today instead of despair. He wants to bring certainty instead of doubt. He wants to be able to bring courage to you instead of fear. He wants to breathe into you life instead of being driven by the dynamics of death and the fear of death. John promises us new life, and Jesus wants to enter into your life today. And Jesus can show up. Jesus can show up and bring life to you. I think it's amazing. And recently listening to an Iranian pastor, that's right, an Iranian pastor, who still lives in Iran, who says, why do I worry about being persecuted or martyred for my faith when I believe in the resurrection? Because if I believe in the resurrection, then death has no consequences over me. I have life. I have life abundant, and I have life eternal. And so I believe in the resurrection. When we believe in the resurrection, we have no place for fear in our lives. In fact, we have power to be able to live and to live for Jesus. The last point I want to share with you is this, that same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead also lives in you. If you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've believed and trusted in Him, then there's something incredible about your life. In Romans 8, it tells us, verses 10 and 11, now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through His Spirit who lives in you. What an incredible, incredible statement Paul makes to the church at Rome. That same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus, now lives in you. That when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are never alone. That the Comforter, the Paraclete, the One who loves you, the Holy Spirit lives in you. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will also raise us by His power. And that same power is in your life. In 2 Corinthians 4:14, it says, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus to life will also raise us up with Jesus and take us together with Him into His presence. That is an eternal promise that we have, that promise of eternity, that we will be in the presence of Jesus. But you have the promise of the here and now, that you have the presence of Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit lives in our lives. He brings resurrection power so that we might be alive today, that we might be able to experience a new life in Him, that we can experience a new hope that's in Him. I love what it says over in John 1, 2 through 5. It says, He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. And so Jesus brings life and light. When He breathes into us, when He brings new life into us, when the Holy Spirit indwells in us because of the power of the resurrection, God, as He breathed into Adam's body in Genesis 2:7, God wants to breathe into your life today. New life, new hope, a new beginning. It means that we understand that we need a Savior, that we need a resurrected Jesus to be able to trust. Over in Ephesians 2, it tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We too previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and our thoughts. But God, in His rich mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, we're saved by grace. That's God's unmerited love that we experience, and it's the power of the resurrection that validates that. And so today I want to give you this Resurrection Sunday opportunity to close your eyes and to bow your heads and to say, Jesus, I need your presence. I need your power. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come in as the resurrected Lord and fill me with your presence and give me a new day to start living my life. And from this day on, Jesus, I live for you. Death couldn't hold you. The grave couldn't keep you. You're alive and I need a living Savior. I trust you, Jesus, with everything. If you pray a prayer like that, Jesus is more than eager to respond. He loves you. He wants to give you this new life. He wants to give you resurrection power so that you might trust Him today. If you prayed that prayer, please email us and share with us that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus today. If that kind of resurrection life has changed your life, be that virtual evangelist that will pass on all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and any other social media, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, has changed my life in this way. It's an incredible way for us to be able to share that even though we might be stuck in our homes and might not be able to come together, death couldn't hold him, this virus can't hold the message of Jesus, it is time for us to proclaim to the world, Jesus has changed me because of his resurrection power. I look forward to being with you later this week in my devotionals and on Wednesday. God bless all of you. Let's continue to worship at this time. Have an amazing Resurrection Sunday, and I look forward to hearing and seeing your posts about how the resurrection has changed your life. God bless you all.